Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
Completed chapter 9, and we have entered into chapter 10. The chapter 9 was a royal secret, Raja Vidya Raja Guhya Yoga. Basically, what we have learned is Bhagavan said, I pervade in this entire universe in my unmanifest form. And therefore, people fail to recognize me when I am dwelling in the human form. In other words, in the manifest form, we have a difficulty to recognize the Lord's presence because He pervades in His unmanifest form. It's like we fail to recognize the presence of radio waves in this room because they are pervading this entire room in unmanifest form. They are here, we know that, because we tune the radio to any frequency, we will get the sound. So from our inference of that act, we know that the radio waves are all present here in this room. All these rock stations and pop stations and talk stations are already here. But right now we are completely unaware of them because they are in unmanifest form. So the last chapter which we have seen said, why people tend to not recognize the Lord in this world, because He said, I pervade in this entire world in unmanifest form. So anything which you see, feel, touch is nothing but my own manifestation. But because of our identification with the name and form and colors and shapes, we identify them as objects and create this world of plurality in our perception. So the whole chapter basically says, those who identify, worships, word uses worship. Those who worship devas go to devas. Those who worship pitras go to pitras. Those who worship bhutas go to bhutas. Those who worship me come to me. In other words, whatever I want to see in this world, I'll see it. If I want to see this world as a world of complete inequality and injustice, I'll see that in this world. If I see this world as a happy place where everybody is sharing this experience together happily, we will see that. Whatever we want to see in this world, we will see it. Whichever way we identify with this world, that's the world we'll experience. And that's the royal secret. Yourself cannot be anything other than the Lord's self, the God's self, because He said, I pervade in this entire universe in my unmanifest form. All the manifestations come from me, all the manifestation dies in me. But we fail to recognize that. And then obviously the prescription given that those who devote all their actions and they worship me without having the another. Once I have the intellectual appreciation of this concept, if the God created this world out of His own self, because there was no other material available for Him, this world cannot be anything other than His self. If that is the case, myself also cannot be anything other than His self, so is everyone else's selves cannot be anything other than the God's self. Once I have this intellectual appreciation of this thought, and I'm convinced by my own logic that nothing other than the Lord exists in this world, now I need to practice consciously. That I should have that constant thought in the back of my mind while I'm thinking about anything else. That even though I divide this world, I and the world, the world is also nothing but the extension of the same self as I consider myself. This constant identification, Bhagavan said, will lead you to the liberation. It is a birthright of every being, no matter what disadvantages they inherently have because of their position, status, situation in life. So the examples we have seen is Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Not that they are inferior, but they are disadvantaged because of their status, situation, abilities, mental conditions, to not have a clear appreciation. Even they can achieve this. So how easy it must be for the people who are privileged with good intellect, cleaner mind, and a good situation in life, which basically addresses to people like Arjuna and us. We have education, we have a thinking ability, we can see things clearly because of our discrimination capability. You see how easier it must be for those people now. With that encouragement and a very, very optimistic philosophy, that there is nothing to lose in this life. Everything which you think you're losing is just your perception. When I consider myself a loser, I'm a loser. If I consider myself a winner, I'm a winner. And when in this philosophy, Bhagavan said there is no one has ever anything to lose other than your own self-punishing of your own misconception about who you are. It's a very optimistic philosophy. Hearing this, obviously now Bhagavan can see Arjuna, who was in the first chapter, was completely depressed and dejected and delusional. What is right and wrong and what's his duties and what needs to be done. Now he's all fired up and cheered up and delighted about this teachings. So the very first verse in chapter 10 is voluntarily Bhagavan saying, I'm going to give you this. The very first verse says, Bhuya eva mahabaho srunu me paramam vacha yatte aham priyamanaya vakshami hitakamyaya. This chapter is titled Vibhuti Yoga. That means the yoga of the glories of the Lord. We have seen in abstract form in the last chapter what the God's nature is, that I'm unmanifest, pervading this entire manifest universe. So now this chapter says, how do I meditate on something which is unmanifest? Something, if I have to think about something which never has any existence in manifest form, it's impossible. So now Bhagavan said, I'll give you some pointers how to do that. So this chapter says the glories of the God, glories of the Lord. The very first verse says, O mighty arm. So now first he has seen the Arjuna is all fired up, giving him a little more encouragement. O mighty arm, listen to my supreme words, which I, wishing your welfare, will declare to you who are delighted to hear me. So there are a few very subtle indications of what's happening here. First of all, he addresses Arjuna's mighty arm. He has already come out of his depression. He starts feeling like a hero that he was. In his life, Arjuna has obviously accomplished a lot and was a hero. Reminding him that you have achieved in this world of experiences heroism. Now the same heroism now you have to apply to your inner life. You know, we can say, we know the people who accomplished a lot in life, and in the end we find out that he actually committed a suicide. We know several of our film, you know, actors and film directors, Guru Dutt, those of you who are from India, great. And when we look at his movies, what an achievement. The guy was a genius movie maker, but he died committing suicide. Because the heroism which he has achieved in the outer world, he couldn't achieve it in his inner world. He couldn't conquer his own enemies within. He could conquer his competition outside, but not within himself. So Bhagavan reminding all of us through Arjuna saying, Oh, mighty arm, you have achieved a lot in this life. But what about achieving in your inner life? So he reminds him, Mahabaho, you can achieve outside, you can also achieve inside. So, and he said, listen to my supreme words, because these are the words which I'm going to tell you will let you connect the abstract idea of God to this manifest world which you and I can relate to. And I'm telling you because I wish your welfare. You are my own dear devotees. You identify with me, and therefore I identify with you. I wish you well. That's why we tell our family members. Because you wish me well, I wish well for my family. So I wish you well. Therefore, I'm going to tell you this good words which will uplift you from this confusion. And I know that you delight in listening to this. So the whole scenario is painted. Arjuna came out of his depression. He has clearly understood what his self is through all these discourses up to the 9th chapters. He's delighted, he's optimistic, and wants to know more where to go from here. Bhagavan said, I know that. Therefore, I'm now going to tell you my glories. In the second verse, say, Name viduhu suraganaha prabhavam na maharshayaha aham adirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvashaha. So the question comes to all of us, even after probably learning Gita for many, many years, and say, well, why I can't figure it out? Why I can't know what is myself is, you know? I can figure out a lot of these things which are very complicated and abstract. Why it is so difficult for me to accept who I am or to find out what is the nature of God is? Bhagavan says, it's not your fault, it's a manufacturing fault. No one has ever been able to do that through your intellect and mind. Everything we know in this world is by using our intellect, by using our mind. We figure out things by thinking about it, dissecting it, analyzing it, and come to the conclusion what it is. Bhagavan said, this self is not an object which can be analyzed and understood by intellect. And therefore he says, Name viduhu suraganaha. Even the devas, the host of the heavens, they do not know me. They do not know my source, essence of me. Prabhavam na maharshayaha. Even the great rishis, the sages, the seers, intellectuals in our language, the thinkers, they cannot know my beginning, the source of my being, they also do not know. Aham adihi devana. Why is that? Because I am more ancient. I mean, before all the devas were created, before all these divine beings, as we call in the heavens, are created, or the seers are created. In other words, I am the source of these two. The devas, which we consider to be divine beings, that they have much closer to the God as per our understanding, but they also do not know. I may be very close to someone, but I may not know his real nature. So he said, devas do not know me, nor do the seers and the rishis know me, simply because I am the source of them all. And therefore, they cannot find their own source. We have seen many, many examples before. One of the classic examples Swami Dhirananda used is the flashlight and the batteries in the flashlight. With the same flashlight, I can see anything in this room if the room is dark. But I want to find out what brand the batteries are in the flashlight. I cannot do that. As soon as I take out the batteries out, the light is gone. I put the batteries back, batteries are not visible. Because the very source of the light in which I am recognizing things in this room, in this dark room, are the batteries. There will no way the same light of that flashlight will be able to search what the nature of the batteries are. Same way Bhagavan says the devas, and obviously there's a big discussion about who are devas and seers. Devas, as we have discussed many, many times before, are the presiding deities of our senses. That which illumine, to dev, to illumine, that which illumine my world. My world of sight, my world of sound, my world of touch, my world of taste, that is illumined by the devas who are residing in me. Without them, my eye cannot see. Without them, my ear cannot hear. So basically, devas mean the sense organs, the sense perceptions. Through my sense perception, I know everything in my world. By my touch, by my listening, my seeing, I create this world of my understanding. The God, myself, cannot be objectified by my senses. I got the Bhagavan's darshan. Bhagavan came and stood in front of me. I was saying it. Not true. It's just not possible. You will not be able to objectify yourself. My senses are capable of recognizing the objects in this world. It is not capable of objectifying my own self. That which makes me feel I exist, that which makes me aware of my world, cannot be objectified, my consciousness. So the devas cannot know my origin, Bhagavan says. Nor do the rishis. The great thinkers and great being, the seven rishis in our Puranas, as we have discussed, you know, who are Bhrigu to Vasishtha. Swamiji says they are not to be considered as flesh and blood thinkers, but wanted the personified concepts of our experiences by our mind and intellect. And obviously there are seven because there's a five tanmatras, the five great elements which create this outer world for me, which is objectified by mind and intellect. So the 5 + 2 becomes 7. These 7 are the rishis who creates my world for my understanding. Every experience I have in my life is obviously related to 5 great elements where the objective world is created by my mind and intellect. These 7 again are incapable of knowing the origin of the Lord. Because my mind and intellect, the world of my mind and intellect is limited to my capacity of my mind and intellect. My intellect is a product of my consciousness. I only can think as long as I'm alive. I can only feel as long as I'm alive. The moment the consciousness is not there, intellect is no more. A dead Einstein cannot do anything more than a complete idiot. Because he's no more an Einstein. He's no more the Einstein that we knew. Because what we knew about him is his intellect, which was only functioning while he was conscious. A Einstein in a deep sleep is also no better than an idiot. Because his intellect is not available to him. And therefore Bhagavan said, the 7 rishis, the 7 elements of my world of experiences, 5 elements, mind and intellect, they also cannot find my origin. Therefore, you please don't feel bad that you can't figure it out. In the last verse, we have seen, it say, Yo mam ajam anadim cha vetti loka maheshwaram asammudaha sammartyesu sarva pape hi pramuchyate. So is this an impossibility that I'll ever know my own source? I'll ever know my own self? And Bhagavan said, no. Those who know me is ajam. unborn, you know, an anadi, beginningless. Right now, I have come to the conclusion myself is, was born on March 30th, 1948, and sometimes in future it will die. So I consider myself an entity which has taken birth. And we have learned in Bhagavad Gita that from our experiences, anything which comes into existence has to go back into non-existence. Everything which we have known has happened then. So if the self is immutable, imperishable, all-pervading, it has to be ajam. It has to have never taken birth. So those who realizes that even though this body has taken birth, this mind has taken birth, the intellect has taken birth, the self which is illuminating my intellect and mind is ajam, is without birth. And therefore it is anadi. Something which does not have any birth or a beginning date has to be infinite. If these two concepts I can apply to myself in a very aware and conscious manner, such a person, Vetti Loka Maheshwaram, he will know the Lord of this world, this entire universe. Because this entire universe, as we know, is composed of my experiences and my projection of this world. Your world is created by your experiences and your projection of this world. His experience, his projection of the world, her experience, her projection of the world. When you combine all of that, it's the Mahat intellect. That's the total world. In all this totality, the only entity which is common is consciousness. Your world is there only because you are conscious. My world is there because I am conscious. Her world is there because she is conscious. His world is there because he is conscious. Consciousness is the only common factor in our world. Therefore, that consciousness is Loka Maheshwaram, the Lord of all the experiences. Without that, no experience takes place. So Lord, not in a sense that he is the punishing entity who will be judging your actions and then punishing it, or judging your actions and rewarding it. Lord, in a sense that the action only takes place, experience only takes place in its presence. Light is the Lord of this room right now. Without that, nothing can happen. Without this, experience just cannot take place. And therefore, he's the Loka Maheshwara. He's the Maheshwara. He's the Lord of all the beings. Asamudha. With that understanding, the delusion about myself as the limited being is gone. And therefore, among the martyesho, among the mortals, we are all mortals because we all know, no matter how healthy I am, someday I will be gone. Either a heart attack or a diabetes or a blood pressure or something. But I will be gone. Because this world is the mortal world. Building, know how great it is, will be destroyed. Stone, society, cultures, no matter how great we are, it will disappear from this face of this planet. We know that. So Bhagavan says, this is the world of Mrityuloka, the world of mortals. Everything comes into existence and dies. Among those mortals, such a person will recognize the infinity and the imperishable nature of the self, and therefore sarva papaihi pramuchyate, he will be liberated from all the limitations. Papa, sins. Sins, negative experiences. Negative experiences only there because I consider myself to be a limited entity. Such a person will be liberated from this bondage of limitedness that my mind and intellect has imposed on me. Bhagavan said, so therefore, you need to meditate on that imperishable self. With that, we'll stop here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhave Om Shantihi 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.